All right, NDLers, welcome back to podcast episode, I don't know, number 10, 11? I don't know where we're at, Jason, but we are here. We are one round through the NDL playoff, technically just about two rounds through the NDL playoff, and we'll kind of dive into it here. We'll talk about NDL Blitz, have some guests from the media team on here with us, but Jason, how was your week?
Very, very, very busy, but enjoying a little bit of virtual college football tonight, watching a couple games and chatting with you guys and getting ready for episode 10 of the podcast.
Yeah, 10. Thank you for fact checking that. I will say thanks for the picks in the gambling thread. For those gamblers out there who bet on college sports, NFL, whatever, the degenerates, Jason put out an article that I think was like 5-0. 4-1, maybe. It was a pretty good article. So I appreciate those winners that you dished out this week.
The Monday Night Football one or the
Monday, Monday
Tennessee
Night Football
one. That one went 3-0, and then Tennessee. I think we swept the Tennessee one too. So yeah, 6-0 across the two of them. I may have placed the largest wager I've placed in 2 years on the under for Oklahoma's quarterback passing, because for whatever reason they decided to set his number 60 yards higher than anything he'd had all season going against the Tennessee defense. And I'm like, okay, that's wrong. He only covered it by 180 yards. So very easy win when the quarterback gets benched at halftime.
Very underwhelming game. Sorry for any OU fans out there. I actually know a lot of them, but we'll dive into NDL. So a lot of playoff games to talk about, a lot of bowl games as well out there. We might dive into a couple of those, a lot of entertainment over the week, but we had a crew on. We were watching some of these quarterfinal games. We'll talk about the first round first. So Jason, what scores, what results stand out to you from those first round of games? What did you like the most?
I'll be completely honest. I was surprised to see Shell beat Big Mike. Big Mike was dominant all season, undefeated through the regular season. And then I don't know if people just figured out how to beat him, or if, you know, Missouri, let's keep in mind, Missouri wasn't the greatest team in the world. They had some weaknesses. We just wonder if they didn't match up well with West Virginia, but Shell gets the win there. And then I think only two of us picked Nebraska to beat Georgia, but I felt like looking at the results Nebraska had and the teams that they had beaten versus Georgia not playing a whole lot of ranked teams this year, I felt like he was battle tested and he had a really good defense and ends up getting that win in the first round.
Yeah, the only game I caught was the West Virginia-Missouri game, and I only caught the last quarter. Seemed like a very close game, a couple of plays that really could have swung either way. I wasn't super surprised to see Shell win, say that quickly. Great game. I mean, I played him earlier. I had a chance to beat him. You know, he's just really tough, man. Just he overcomes adversity. He makes big plays. He's just smart at the game. And I'd seen some games. You said Big Mike dominated all year. He did dominate. There's no question. But there were some games in there that were very close, right? Like there was that 7-0 game. There was a couple. I think Alabama gave him a pretty good test. So I mean,
beat Vandy by seven.
Yeah, I mean, you could see there was some vulnerability there, but to lose at home, you know, that's one thing. That was a tough one, but I mean, you know, Shell is still Shell. Great game. I haven't listened back. Did I pick him? Tim, are you there? Did you go back and listen? Did I pick Shell? Because I think there was some controversy there.
You know, so when I did when I went back and listened to the broadcast twice today, I had you down as not picking him. You talked about how you didn't want to have to pick him, but you thought that I could have swore you picked Missouri.
Maybe there was some ambiguity there. Maybe I never really made a pick. I don't know. But
nobody
way,
wants
I,
to pick Shell. I mean, come yeah, on. We all, yeah. none well, of us I want mean, to pick the guy. He cheated earlier this year. He beat a team by more than 35. Yeah, shouldn't have been in the league. I'm joking.
Should be kicked out of the league. No. Great. That was probably, I think, the best game of the first round. But you hit it on the head, too. I know a lot of guys had Nebraska pulling it off on Georgia. I was surprised by that one. I guess the other results, you know, I did predict Tennessee. I thought Tennessee would be a closer game against Notre Dame. That ended up not being such a close game. And then, of course, we had the LSU Ball State game last night. LSU, you know, taking care of business. And, you know, as it stands, as we're talking about it now, LSU taking care of business again. So, you know, the first round games went by quick. The second round games, I think we're already three games in. I guess if you have to kind of reevaluate everything, Jason, you know, where do you stand now? Who's your next up now that we've had some results?
Well, I mean, given that my pick for national champion is no longer viable, which we'll get to in a second. I mean, it's a toss up between Kansas and LSU. I think LSU, there's so much speed and what he's done with Nussmeier on that team this year. He's only thrown, coming into the playoffs, he's only thrown four picks all year. That just feels like if those two teams get together, it's going to be a battle of whoever has the ball last.
Very interesting, because those two teams are also supposed to play in the BV Cup final. So, like, very interesting. You might see a national championship plus a BV Cup final be the same two teams. That I don't know if that's ever happened before. I know we have, like, the BV Cup was just the NDL Cup before this, but we'll have to do some research or get some of our Hall of Fame stats guys on the case. I'll bring in some of our guests here before we move on to these results that we're seeing tonight. Obviously, as we post the podcast, I think three of the four quarterfinal games are going to be final, so we'll talk about those results and then the matchups that follow. But I'll turn it over to, I think we got Pat with us. Pat, what stood out to you in this quarterfinal round, or in this first, sorry, not quarterfinal round, the first round in terms of results? You with us?
Pat, are you muted?
All right, he's in the room. I'll give him that. We'll pass it over to somebody else.
He's out racing Reggie Bush right now.
Yes. He's just taking a dump, I guess. We'll turn it over to we'll go back to Tim. Tim, what stood out to you in the first round? And for those who don't know the name Tim, it's Lick, or X-Lick, Liquid Snake. What stood out to you in the first round in terms of results?
Man, obviously the Nebraska game, I was on them. I was on Nebraska pretty big for winning. And so I think the way the game shook out, for anybody that watched it, it was kind of back and forth. And so that was kind of a shocker. I think a lot of people thought Georgia, with just the athletes and stuff they had on that side of the ball, would probably kind of cruise into a win. Other than that, I think the rest of it kind of played out. I mean, most of us picked a lot of those other games. I think obviously Shell winning was an upset in a lot of people's eyes, but I think they were evenly matched. So I don't think it was like a giant shocker to many. And so I thought the first round games were all really competitive and close. I think you saw, obviously, in the second round is where some of the teams really separated themselves from the other teams.
Yeah, I mean, aside, I think, from those two other games, you know, the two very competitive games coming down to the fourth quarter, you know, you talk about a team like Ball State getting in last minute, and obviously we made the announcement a couple days ago of what happened. We won't dive into it. We won't beat a dead horse, but a team like that getting in, great story, awesome. You know, 12-1, beat some very, very good teams and opponents in the MAC and throughout the schedule. But man, it just goes to show, if you do not have an LSU, if you do not have a Georgia, a team like that, it's just really hard to keep up. You know, it's hard to play those games and win. But I'll turn it over to you, Nidler, if you're with us. I know you're in the room here. I guess, what are your thoughts, your takes on just the first round of the first NDL playoff being back after 10 years?
I thought it was absolutely awesome. I think we had some incredible matchups. As, you know, Tim just said, I think that Nebraska, I don't want to say shocked the world, because some people expected him, but I think that was probably the, you know, biggest upset in my eyes as far as talent, you know, deficit, and he overcame that. You know, and the second round, obviously there's a lot of great matchups there too, so I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, we will. I'm actually just got a message from Pat, so we'll turn it back to him. He said his mic was not working. He was on with us. He could hear us. But Patty, what did you see in that first round? What were your takeaways?
Well, first of all, check. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Beautiful. So, I was saying I was on a road trip with my high school team, my coach. So I only got to catch the LSU game, which he just outmatched Ball State. And then I was pretty shocked, even though I was kind of joking around about Tennessee losing by 35 to Rain. But that was kind of a lopsided game. That's what stood out to me. I did not get to see the Nebraska-Georgia game. I thought, like what you guys said, the D-Canes athletes would take over. And then the best game, though, was Shell's comeback over Mike. I mean, that was impressive as heck. Because he went down early, if I remember right, by like 14 or 17.
So if someone can jump in here, I did not see the first portion of that game. I tuned in when Shell was up 24-21 in the fourth quarter. So I guess if anyone else can confirm that.
I can't because I didn't watch. So
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't around either.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mike was up 14-0 because Shell texted me on the side and goes, well, this one's over. And then he comes back and wins.
The old reverse curse.
It works like a charm.
I know. I was playing Big Red in some Blitz games yesterday, and MGR, that is. And, yeah, I kind of cleaned him up. He was a lesser team. And then the next game, he was not a lesser team, and he cleaned me up. And it was like one of those 24-0 games. And I was like, yeah, this is fun, man. But there's no way I'm coming back from this one. And I didn't. I did get competitive, but it didn't quite come back. So. No, the old reverse curse. But we'll move on to the second round and talk about some of the games and the results that have happened. We already mentioned, I think, that Notre Dame did fall to Ohio State just recently. I actually just think I got the Discord update on the scoreboard. I think that one just went live, or just went final, I should say. We have the Kansas game going final as well. Another dominant performance. Kansas winning 42-7. And then I believe LSU and Coastal Carolina just went final as well, 45-27. So three of the four quarterfinal games moving into the semifinals. I'll turn it over to Six. He's on with us as well, 6 feet deep. What are your takeaways from some of these second round matchups? What surprised you?
Be lying if I said Ohio State Notre Dame score didn't surprise me. I actually expected Notre Dame to win, but I guess Ohio State's a good team, and he's played tough opponents all year long, so I shouldn't be too surprised, but I am a little bit. And the other games, not too surprised. I'm a little surprised the Kansas-Nebraska game was as lopsided as it was, but not overly surprised. And I pretty much expected the LSU Coastal game to go the way it did. But other than that, yeah, it's just that Notre Dame Ohio State game. That one, I wouldn't have predicted that, but it's a good team, right? And he's playing for people, so it is what it is. So.
Yeah, I was hopeful we could all get on here and make our predictions for these second round games, but these guys beat us to it, right? They started playing before we could record and all get together tonight. But I'm with you. I think Notre Dame was kind of the favorite in the clubhouse as far as a champion. Great season out of them, obviously falling a little bit short. But I'll just kind of open up to anybody here who wants to chime in. I don't know about you guys, but you know, I figured as the playoff went on, these games would get closer and tighter and tighter, and really, like, neither of these games, you know, Notre Dame did have a chance there at the end to get a stop and maybe get the ball back to make it a tie game or force an overtime, but the rest of the games just haven't been even close. Anyone surprised by that or not really?
No, and I think it echoes what we'll probably see in real life too. I think, you know, there's such a talent gap between those top three or four teams and that second tier of teams. You know, if you look at Notre Dame's roster, they don't have a ton of speed at wide receiver. And there is a gap, and I'm actually, full disclosure, talking to Rain right now. You know, he made a great point of the fact that he's playing against a team that has extremely high awareness on the defensive backs. So some of the things that he can get away with against a lot of the other teams he plays this year, you just can't get away with against one of the top two teams in the entire game. And I think that goes to show when you look at the fact that he threw five picks in this game. He had thrown five picks the whole season prior to this. Wow. So he's not a guy who forces things, but he felt like he had to force things because so many of the windows that he had throughout the season just aren't there. And having played that Ohio State team, there's no weakness. There's so much speed. There's so much strength. You have to play almost a perfect game if your team is not on that level. And then obviously LSU, Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina was the four seed, but that's only because South Carolina got booted and Big Mike didn't win. If Big Mike wins the SEC, he's a top four seed and Coastal's the 12 seed as the group of five team that gets in. So, I mean, that game was never going to be close just because of the speed and the talent disparity there with the way that LSU's been playing this year. I think West Virginia SMU will probably end up being one of the closer games of this tournament just because of the talent that West Virginia has on offense. He can catch up. I think when we get into these final four, that's where we're going to start to see the scores get tighter. And again, I think that's going to be just like in real life because LSU has the speed to negate a lot of what Kansas does on offense, but Kansas plays extremely good defense and he's going to be able to negate a lot of things that LSU is able to do offensively. And then Ohio State versus what I'm going to guess is probably going to be SMU. That's a much better matchup, I think, in terms of the actual talent on the roster, not necessarily the coach, but the talent on the roster than Ohio State Notre Dame was.
Yeah, I just want to chime in here real quick and say that, yes, I think Ohio State beating Notre Dame kind of shocked us all just because of rain, but you know, I don't want to take anything away from Dan. Dan is a 225-136 career record. So he's a good, talented coach. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to play. Granted, it's been 10 years since we've played. But, you know, I just wanted to give him kudos that, you know, he's been here before. He's done it before. So.
And to add to that, it's not like he put up that kind of record with Ohio State. He was doing that a lot of times with a school like Navy. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He and I play each other every single season. There have been years where I have, you know, a Power 5 school and he's got Navy in it down to the water. He's a very good coach.
Yeah, I mean, some surprising results, of course, but I'm with you guys. I mean, I think this SMU-West Virginia game is going to be a classic. I think it's actually kicking off here shortly, so we'll dive into that one. But I did misspeak earlier. I said that Kansas-LSU could be a national championship game and a cup game. It can't. It will be a semifinal game, and then it will be a cup game final as well. So interesting, you know, if these guys, I know the cup's got to get in before the end of the week or before the end of the weekend, which game do they play first, right? Do they play the NDL semifinal game or do they play the cup game? I haven't looked at the schedule. Is there a ruling there? If you guys are playing that game, who do you play first or what game do you play first?
Oh, I'm playing the semifinal.
You know what's really interesting?
I'm not giving him. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. So if LSU wins, I mean, not if SMU beats West Virginia, and that's our four in the final four, is that no one could we can't discredit the Massey ratings or at least the college football playoff ratings. There hasn't been an upset, right? A higher seed hasn't. I mean, a lower seed hasn't lost to a higher seed yet. And so it's kind of interesting just to think about, is that it's all kind of played out how the seeding meant it to play out. And just to answer your question earlier about the biggest matchup so far in the playoffs for me, obviously was Kansas drumming of Nebraska today. Watching the game, Kansas threw one ball over 10 yards, and they absolutely demolished Nebraska. Just no answer. And so I think with him rolling on high cylinders, I just don't know that LSU has any – I just don't know that they're going to have any answers for that Kansas offensive attack right now.
So I will say, technically, Shell, at the time he played the game, was a 10 seed, so kind of an upset. I know after the fact it ended up not being. It was a 7-10. It was flipped. But, no, I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, you can't really dispute the ratings and the rankings and the process. I know we've, you know, had multiple conversations about what that looks like going forward, and I won't even scratch that itch right now. We won't talk about that because we're talking about the here and now and what's going on. But let's dive into it. I mean, we got SMU versus West Virginia, our last quarterfinal game. You know, it'll decide the final four. And we're getting to the point where we got to start talking, you know, what's going to be that national championship game now that we have that clear picture. So I'll pass it off to Six to start it. We got SMU, West Virginia tonight. What's your prediction? What do you think's going to happen? And who do you got coming out on top?
I think Shell is extremely lucky a lot of times. So I got Shell. I think it'll be close. I think it'll come right down to the end. But I think he'll pull out a close victory. He'll throw some crazy pass, and it'll one of his guys will somehow come down with it, and that'll be the difference. So yeah, I got West Virginia over SMU, but just barely. And I could easily see SMU winning, but I think the Shell's luck will come through, and he'll just pull off something crazy and win the game.
As long as he doesn't hit the ladder.
I love it. Yeah, that video resurfaced today in the live chat, and that was great. I loved it. I got a good laugh at it out of it like two times that I checked Discord today. But Jason, I'll turn it over to you, man. You've been spot on about Steam all season and his team, and you know, predicting him to win out of the ACC when he probably has like the fifth or sixth best team in the ACC. I haven't really seen a weakness in his game all year. I mean, it's been pretty dominant. I guess, what do you see out of him, or what do you got in this game?
I mean, so much of what Shell does relies on his offense. Again, you know, 500 points scored this year, but he did not have the greatest defense at times. Now, Shell did play a really difficult schedule, and I think that plays a part of it, but Steam is so, so good on both sides of the ball that I think he's going to get turnover to at some point. He's going to force Shell to become pass heavy and force him to get away from utilizing those two running backs that he's got. And I think that's where it's going to fall apart. And I think SMU rolls him.
I'll keep it rolling. We'll go over to you, Pat. You've been hot take, bold prediction guy. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, I've played Steam, probably scrimmed him more times than anybody else in the league, as far as like people I've played, and he is so good on defense, like it's hard to explain. Like, I don't know what he's doing half the time, and he'll be in zone and it looks like man, and I just think he's really good at limiting turnovers. And if you guys have noticed, that's kind of the big deal with this, right? You've got Kansas, who doesn't turn the ball over, LSU that doesn't turn the ball over, and Daniel won today because Rain turned the ball over. And I think SMU will win because he will have less turnovers. So I'm going to go with him in a close one.
And to add to that, Shell's thrown 22 picks this season.
Yep. And with what he does on defense, man, he'll get him a time or two. It'll just – that's my prediction. SMU by 7.
Tim, how are you feeling about this game? Who do you got?
Yeah, same thing that Patty said, is that it just really comes down to playoffs and the defense and who's turning the ball over, who's forcing the ball. And I just think SMU's not going to turn it over, and I think West Virginia loses by probably 14 and throws two picks that feels the fate for them.
Midler, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I agree with those guys. Shell's talented, but as Jason said, with the 22 picks on the year or whatever, SMU is going to take advantage of that for sure.
You guys are leaving it up to me to hit you with the not so fast, my friends. I got West Virginia. I think Shell is going to pull it off. Masterclass, super close game. I'm going to say 28-27. Every time I pick against him, or every time I actually didn't really pick up against him last game, but every time I think we think he can't get it done or he's not going to get it done, he pulls through. Now, I will say, I think he wins this one closely, but I can't help but see Ohio State versus LSU in the national championship. And now, of course, Kansas, no disrespect. They've been amazing, but I think West Virginia pulls this one off, gets to that semifinal game, chance to play for a national championship. Of course, I think we all know Shell is probably not going to be at West Virginia next year, but I got him winning a super close game. I'll go with 6 feet as well. Something stupid or crazy or lucky, or we'll call it what you want, right? Create your own luck. Something's going to happen there. So I'm excited. I hope we get to catch, or I hope I get to catch that game tonight. But any comments from anybody to kind of wrap up these quarterfinal games going into semifinals?
Yeah, I got a comment about the LSU-Kansas game. I think whatever one they play, because this is going to be like three games of them playing this season, which is pretty interesting.
That is, because
if you remember, LSU lost earlier in the season. So if Kansas wins the next game, whatever one that next game is, I can't see the LSU team losing three times to the same team. So I think whatever one plays first, whoever wins that next one, the opposite's going to win the third game. I don't know which way it's going to play, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think someone said it. I think it was Jason. Like, you got to play this. You got to play the semifinal first. I mean, you have to, right? Like, there's just, I know the Beefy Cup is important. It's still a championship, but I feel like that's the game that if I were them, I would say, hey, let's play this one. Let's get this one in. It's kind of the big thing right now. But I'm with you. It's that old like NFL adage of, you play a team twice in the regular season in your division, and you beat them twice, and then you get them in the playoffs. Like, good luck beating them a third time, right? So, that's a good call out, 6 feet. I forgot that those teams had played earlier in the season. It was real early. I think it was like week three or week four in block one or two, somewhere in that range. But, I mean, why don't we talk
It was week 10.
Was it week 10?
It was week 10.
Oh, I'm thinking, you're right. I'm thinking of, it was Liberty, I think, played against LSU pretty early in the season. I think that's what I was thinking of. LSU
Kansas
handled.
Kansas jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then won 42-30.
Yeah, so that's going to be a great game. Obviously, I don't know if we want to jump into predictions yet. I mean, we might as well. I know we only have one of those two semifinals set, but let's dive into it while we're on it. I mean, if you got to predict that game, Kansas versus LSU. I'll start with you, Jason, since we just heard from you. Who would you take in that game?
I mean, I've not played either coach. I think LSU has gotten better as the season's gone along. He had an interception that he's only thrown four all year. So, you know, we've talked about it already. If you can limit turnovers and you can limit turnovers, it changes everything. The other thing to keep in mind is that game was at Kansas. Now, I don't know how much of a home field Kansas has, but it's got to help. Playing at a neutral site takes a bit of that away. You don't have the kick meter weirdness. You don't have, you know, things that go into that. I think Kansas, it comes down to whether or not LSU stopped, because he's just a disgusting player. He had 9.8 yards a carry in that game. If you can stop him and force Kansas to throw downfield, I think LSU's secondary caused some problems. I don't remember who said it earlier, but he played the game against Nebraska today where he had one pass over 10 yards. I think LSU's defenders can slow down that RPO, possibly get a pick somewhere in there. I think LSU barely squeaks by, but, I mean, I could see this being a three-point game. I could see either one of these guys blowing the other one. I think this is one of those games that's going to be circling in pin on your calendar. Make sure you're watching whenever you play.
Yeah, I'll turn it over to Tim here and just keep it rolling. I mean, Kansas, LSU, give us your thoughts. Give us your prediction.
So I think it's kind of the same thing. I think as long as LSU, I mean, LSU is going to have to get him to force the ball down the field. And I think a part of that's going to come with stopping the run first, make him extremely one-dimensional. They obviously mix it up with a lot of screens and short RPOs and stuff out to the sideline. But if he can stop the run, then that'll allow him to focus a little bit more. So I think it really comes down to LSU's front four being able to stop the run by themselves. Kansas doesn't turn the ball very up. So LSU is really going to have to take advantage of all their offensive possessions and not turn it over. I just don't think they can. I think Kansas is going to end up winning by 14-21. He's going to get up early and just kind of continue to roll.
Yeah, it seems like Kansas has been very consistent this year, taking care of the football, taking care of business. There is that one game that I just can't get out of my head. It's that Baylor result. You know, there is a clunker in there. There is some vulnerability, I guess, in the Kansas game plan and the Kansas offense. Or not even offense because it was a high-scoring game. But I can't help but think about how good LSU's been all season. And like Jason mentioned, he keeps getting better and better. And we all know, you know, he's a longtime coach in this league and been solid. But maybe I'm thinking of someone else. I get the names mixed up. But it just LSU, I can't not pick LSU in this game. Love Kansas, Big 12 pride. I'm always cheering for my conference. But, I just have a hard time believing that, you know, they didn't learn from that last game, because every game I've seen them play the last few weeks has been a dominant performance, and they're just taking care of business. But I got LSU in the national championship. Let's flip it over to you, Pat. What do you see out of this game, and who do you got?
Yeah, so when we did the pod last week, I picked LSU to beat Kansas in the final, and then obviously we had to flip-flop some things. So unfortunate that they have to play, because I think they're the two best teams in this thing. I watched the entirety from basically start to finish today, the Kansas-Nebraska game, and I also watched LSU and Coastal play. Now, here's the deal. Coastal, in the first half, the running back was averaging for Coastal 11 yards a carry, okay? He fumbled the ball once when they were going in early to tie the game at 7, and then there was another brutal fumble on a third and goal where the Coastal QB fumbled on the 1. So LSU was getting gashed by the run. So I think Kansas actually is going to beat them maybe by double digits. That's the way I see it. LSU was getting absolutely gashed in the run when I was watching in the first half, and those fumbles. You can't fumble when you're a non-Power 5 team against an SEC team and expect to win. So that's what I took away from it. So I think LSU was my pick last week to win it all, but now the way the matchups are, I'm going to unfortunately have to be a flip-flopper, and I'll go with Kansas.
And real quick to RB, you talked about a clunker with Kansas losing to Baylor. Looking at the recap, Jaden Daniels fumbled the ball 4 times in that game and threw a pick, and Neal only had 10 carries. He had 187 yards, but he only got the ball 10 times. So, I mean, I don't know that it was so much a clunker. It's just a perfect storm of everything going wrong, and then Jiggy J-Rod making the mistake of not feeding his running back. I don't think that happens here. And, I didn't watch the LSU game earlier, but if he was giving up big runs like that, then that does not bode well for him against this Kansas team.
Yeah, I'll put my hand up and admit I didn't read the recap or look too much into it. I'm more of a headline reader, right? The fake news media just feeds you the headlines. But I saw the score, and then I was like, oh, this new Baylor coach, like, whoa, he's picking up where the last Baylor guy left off. But then I saw Baylor lost to Houston, and no disrespect to Houston or our coach there, but it was just a really weird end of the season in the Big 12, and I just can't quite get that one out of my head. So that's, I guess, why I'm going with LSU, and because I have seen so many dominant performances. But, you know, that's just going to be an interesting game. JD, six, I'll turn it over to you guys to kind of wrap up the LSU-Kansas prediction in the semifinal. Thoughts, predictions, what do you got going on there?
For me, that's going to be, I think, one of the best games that we'll see. I think SMU and West Virginia is going to be just as good, and then Ohio State and whoever wins that game is going to be good. But I think Kansas and LSU is going to be a true test for both coaches. Me personally, I'm going to have to pick LSU, and that's nothing against Kansas. I know he's been rolling, but I think LSU is going to pull it out. I think it's going to be a close one, but I think LSU is going to pull it out.
And then six, did you give us a prediction yet on this game? I don't recall. Earth to coach six.
Oh, I was muted on two different things, so I forgot to unmute one. Yeah, I kind of already gave my prediction. I hedged my bets. I basically said whoever, they're going to split these next two games. So whatever order they play them in, that's how I think it's going to go. So I actually think Kansas takes the very next game. So if they play that semifinal next, I think Kansas wins. I just don't think LSU will get one of the three. So that's kind of my prediction basically on that. So if they play the semifinal, I got Kansas.
So I'll hold you guys to your prediction. We just predicted West Virginia versus SMU. Take the team you just predicted in that game against Ohio State, and I'll let you guys kind of each go around the clock here. We'll start with you, Tim. I think you had SMU going against Ohio State. Who do you got in that game moving on to the championship?
Yeah, so I think that, as I stated in the last podcast, is I really think at some point a defense is going to shine in the playoffs more so than the offense, and I really think that that's what's going to happen with SMU against Ohio State. Obviously, Ohio State's previous game against Rain and Notre Dame was a fairly high-scoring game both ways and may have been a little bit closer minus those five picks, but I think that SMU keeps it, a little bit more low-scoring defense on top, and I think they're going to come out ahead.
Pat, I'll flip it over to you. Taking your prediction from the West Virginia SMU game up against Ohio State, who do you got there?
Oh, I'm so boring. I like to pick just the higher-rated teams. I think Ohio State absolutely impressed me, at least in the second half when I jumped on and watched. I heard a rumor that he claims that the only time he plays the game is league games. So that means he's only played like 14 games. I think that's a load of crap, but I think he beats SMU handily. The secondary at Ohio State is nuts. Like, they're super good. And then I didn't realize too, Ohio State's quarterback can scoot. He's fast. And as Jason mentioned, Dan has always kind of gone with Service Academy, so he understands how to run that offense, like that running game to a T. And those two backs are just nasty. So I'll go with him. And I don't mean to call anyone out, but only playing that many games on here and being that good, I don't know. I'm raising the eyebrows on that one.
What is it? The less you know, the better, right? The more you think about it, the more you overanalyze this game, the harder it gets. I don't know. Maybe that's his approach. Jason,
I guess
I'll swing it to you. I think you also predicted SMU against Ohio State. Give us your take there.
Look, I believe it with Daniel, because when you, as somebody who's talked to him so much over the last decade and stuff, the amount that he travels, the amount of work that he has when he's traveling, like, it's not, a regular travel job. You work for 6-7 hours and then you're off. He's pulling 15-hour days sometimes with these travel gigs. So I do buy it, and also has a newborn. So Ohio State is just so damn tough. They don't have a weakness anywhere. And, Quinshon Judkins is impossible to stop. His spin move can break anybody's ankles. He's the best player on the field when he's on the field. Their defensive line is disgusting. Their secondary is probably the best in the game. Their offensive line is damn near impossible to break down. SMU's got a great defense, but there are so many strengths on this Ohio State team, and you combine it with the unique offense that he runs. I don't know that SMU has defended a team playing wishbone half the time the way that Ohio State will. And with having those multiple backs where he's got to defend not just one running back coming out of the backfield, but two, I think that's what gives Dan the edge and he wins.
Flip it over to you, Nidler. Who do you got?
I have to go with Ohio State. As much as I respect Steam, because that's who I picked in that game, as much as I respect him, Ohio State, as Jason was just saying, in this game, they just really don't have a weakness. I think it's going to come down to Ohio State and LSU, and I think that's going to be one hell of a game.
And to add one thing real quick to something we rarely ever talk about, and 6 Feet and I played our bowl game the other day, and we started looking at players, and we started seeing some of these. When you look at the play styles, I think that's one thing, especially when you get into these tougher games where some of these players have 6, 7, 8 play styles. When you go and look at the individual play styles that the Ohio State players have, they've got guys on the defensive line that can get into your backfield in an instant without him having to blitz. And I think that's a key part of this. SMU's got some great players ratings-wise, but when you go and you dig into the play styles that they have and the things that the AI can do without you even controlling them, the advantage that it gives a team like Ohio State is just so difficult to overcome.
Yeah, I think I'll jump in and give my prediction and then pass it off to Six for his final prediction. I picked Shell in the quarterfinal game leading into the semifinal. Sorry, buddy, Shell. Love you, man. Grab a beer with you sometime here in DFW. But, yeah, so at some point, ratings take over. And I think we've all played this game and have played this game enough to see, like, in order to beat a higher-rated team, when you're a lesser rated team, especially in the 80s compared to the 90s, 95s, whatever Ohio State is, you got to play a perfect game, right? And you got to have some lucky bounces and some things go your way. I just think ratings take over here down the stretch. And that's not saying that Daniel or Siet is not like a great coach or a great player. He definitely is. But I think there's just a point where you're outgunned by the ratings, the players, the playmakers, all the attributes that these guys have. Like you said, some of them have 6 or 7 attributes on their profile, and I just don't see it happening, unfortunately. And even if SMU were to win, again, no discredit to Steve, I just don't see it happen. I think Ohio State and LSU, in my opinion, are on a crash course for a national championship, which is a great brand of two teams to be playing in the national championship. But Six, I'll pass it off to you. What's your take on a potential semifinal game between, I believe you had SMU and Ohio State?
No, I had West Virginia, I don't think it matters who's in that game against Ohio State. I actually came away pretty impressed after watching, because this was the first game I actually got to see Ohio State actually play. I know they beat some good teams, in the Big Ten and stuff, and after seeing them play tonight and that they don't just run the wristbone, that they can run other stuff too and be successful. And then like everyone said, that defense is insane. And I think that defense, it's what, the best defense in the game, rating wise, even better than Georgia's. And I think having that defense and being like rating wise so much better than, no matter who wins that game, West Virginia or SMU, I got Ohio State. And I'm almost leaning towards whoever Ohio State plays to actually win after actually getting to see them play.
Yeah, there's no disputing that knocking off Rain, who is, probably the consensus favorite in this group, he's got to be the leader in the clubhouse the rest of the way. We'll put a bow on CFP talk. We've kind of talked about it here for about 40 minutes now. But we'll have another podcast, of course, after semifinal games and talk about the semifinal results and then, of course, a championship. I will not be part of that conversation. I will be out for the next 2 weeks. But we have some exciting stuff going on right now in the NDL. I'm just going to leave this as an open floor discussion. No surprise, huge hit over the last week or so. The NDL Blitz has started, and a lot of positive feedback, a lot of activity. I think, somewhere between like 70 to 80 games have probably been played already in the past week or so. As I said that, the NDL Blitz chat just popped up on my Discord feed on my computer that someone is looking for an NDL Blitz game. So I'll open it up to the floor here. What are you guys thinking about the NDL Blitz, and how have you guys been enjoying it so far?
I have yet to get to partake. Somebody in here whooped my ass right good in our bowl game this weekend, and I've kind of had very little desire to play the game, plus and everything else. But I'm looking forward to playing it, and I think it is a really, really, really important aspect to the league. And a huge shout out to Rain for running with it, taking full control of it, the amount of work he's doing behind the scenes to tabulate all the results and calculate all the points and everything else. You know, one of the big concerns with a league like this where you have 130 owners, there are only 12 teams in the playoff. And once you get done with bowl games, there's nothing left to do. And, you know, there are other games out there. There are other leagues out there. People start getting bored and they might, you know, move away. This gives everybody something to play towards. It allows people to play with different teams. Like, you know, I've been stuck with Fresno State's 85 speed safeties all year, so I don't enjoy playing the game. Now I play with a team like Ohio State, the other side of the street lives like. But I think it's a really important thing to have in the league. And hey, there's gift cards on the line, you know, so there's always some, there's always a little bit extra to play for.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt Nidler, you go first. No, you go first.
I was just going to say, as Jason said, I just want to kind of back that of, you know, it was a great idea by Rain. It helps keep the activity level up. It helps, you know, keep guys active during a lull if they didn't make a bowl game or the playoffs. You know, it gives them something to do. And like myself, I'm enjoying playing with different teams, you know, trying different teams out, trying different offenses out, different playbooks out. So it definitely, and it's against NDL talent, because I could, you know, I could go play a ranked game versus some random dude, but it's going to be a cheese fest. So I'd rather test those teams out here against NDL talent.
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part about it is I always try to encourage some of the younger guys when they reach out to me and talk to me, or I'm just talking in a chat with them, is, man, with this Blitz, like, really take off with it and force yourself to get on your mic and talk to some of these old school players in here, or even just other new players, because you really get to learn what the NDL is about with something like this. You know, Rain taking something over like this, is you really, when you're on this game, you're visiting with someone, you find out who they are, you find out their why. You obviously, some of us have learned about each other's family or have known about each other. You kind of, it's weird when you hear guys, you'll hear guys pop on and start talking to each other and they're like, hey, how's your kid? And they know them from 10 years ago. And so it's my favorite part is I like scrimmaging because you get to play with guys you normally don't play with all year. You get to play against guys you normally don't play with. The out of conference scheduling, there's never enough games for a lot of us to be able to play each other. And so this has just been, it's obviously taken off, you know, with we're probably going to hit 100 games before there's no doubt we're going to hit 100 games before the championship's played, I think. And so I just think there's big things coming with the NDL, and I think I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, really cool. You know, I didn't really partake a ton back in the day, but we had the NDL ladder and we had like other ways to keep playing, you know, NDL way and competition, even though it wasn't part of the season or wasn't part of the NDL Cup back at the time. What a cool new creative way, one, to play, have fun, get better, right? Practice, try different teams. But two, like, really good for us to, like, experiment and see what's the best settings for the league, right? What's the best skill set and skill level that we're going to play at? And then, on top of that, like, you get to have fun, you get to play other guys who want to play the same way as you play. Like, as Nidler said, you don't have to go into a lobby and play a guy who just puts in a 92 speed backup quarterback and scrambles, you know, left and right on you, or they pull up with Colorado and throw to Travis Hunter 72 times a game, things like that. So I've only played two games myself. You know, I'm obviously not going to be able to get many in before I leave tomorrow for a couple of weeks. But I mean, you know, this is what the NDL is all about, right? Like, it's not always about winning and losing. It's about having fun, getting to know people. And you said it, Tim, like, fun getting on the mic with guys. Like, I'm starting to hear voices that I'm like, oh, that's what you sound like for the first time, because, you know, it's just getting the chance to chat with a guy, get to know them better, hear their story, hear their favorite teams. I actually wanted to start a poll and a survey of the league. This is just a weird idea my weird brain had the other day, but I was like, I wonder who everybody's favorite team is. Like, I know a lot of us chat in the chat, and we know the more vocal ones. Like, I know Pat's a USC fan. I know Bear Ass is an OU fan. Like, I'm Notre Dame. Rain's Notre Dame. I would love to just, like, take a survey and, like, start a profile and see who everybody's favorite teams are, and just kind of have that aspect included in this, because, I mean, that's why we're all here, right? It's because we're loving college football. We love this game. We love college football. It's, you know, on Saturday nights, we're on the live chat on the Discord watching a game, and there's like eight to ten guys chatting about it and talking about the game in real time as it's happening, which has been a pretty cool experience. So, you know, I love this for the league. I think it's just an awesome addition going into season 30. Any other thoughts on the Blitz? Pat, I know you've probably played a handful of games. You play a lot of scrims. I'll turn it over to you to give us some feedback.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier I was out of town last week for football, but I've played three games, and you took the words right out of my mouth, RB. Outside of it being awesome and it can be competitive and, you know, trying new teams, Rain's a damn genius to get people to kind of do research, right? Like, hey, what's the best way we can find out league settings here? I'll just create this awesome contest and make it super organized, and I'll have people play what they want to play together to see where everything fits the best. So just a really cool concept. Yeah.
I think I've called Rain a nerd in the chat a handful of times now, but he is a nerd in the best way possible. He's a stats and analytics and that kind of guy, and thank God for him, because if it wasn't for him, you know, I don't think the NDL would be what it is. And really for everybody who's part of this, who plays a part, whether it's the media team, the conference commissioners, players, whatever your role is in the NDL, it's not possible without you. So really appreciate that.
Hey, look, nerds run the world. We create everything and we fix everything. So Rain kind of does a bit of both.
Of course. Well,
real quick, I wanted to put a bow on what I was talking about earlier, that I'd be a nerd and pull up the game real quick. So, and this is one of the things that I'm going to look at when I'm scouting for my next team. You know, I had the only defensive player on the Heisman list, which, again, shout out to everybody for getting the votes in. Make sure you're doing your poll voting, since we didn't get to touch on that. Some people asked me, like, how did you have sacks? Tackle, well, 6 foot pointed out to me the day, and I didn't even realize it, that my defensive end had a platinum quick step play style, and it turns a, you know, having platinum play styles turns a regular player who's an 81 rated into a superstar. I went and looked at Ohio State's roster. SMU's top 17 rated players on their team have a total of 15 play styles. They have one platinum. Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver for Ohio State, has 7 play styles, and 4 of them are platinum.
Wow.
He has 10 different players who have at least 5 play styles. Like, you go and look at his individual players, and you look at the play styles that they have, and you see why defense dominated Notre Dame, and it's going to be a really big mountain for SMU to climb when you look at what those individual non-user-controlled players can do on their own.
Yeah, one thing Rain brought up in when we brought him on, I mean, shoot, feels like forever ago. I mean, it was a couple months ago, but when we brought him on, he said one of the best ways to play this game is to know your team and know your personnel. And shout out to Vic, who is our SMU coach, or not, sorry, SMU, MSU coach, Mississippi State. I got those backwards. Dyslexia. He pointed out, he's like, hey, are you going to keep UCF? And I was like, I'm kind of leaning that way. And he pointed out to me someone on my roster and some formations and some players that I could use to better myself as UCF. And it's very interesting when you dive deep into your roster and playbooks that, you know, you can play to your team's strengths and really get strategic with how you play this game. So I'm not going to spoil my secrets because, you know, I'm going to try to light the league on fire next year. No, I'm just kidding. With some of these advices that I got, and that's the beauty too of this. I think, you know, Tim talked about it, like talking to new guys and messaging people can give you these new perspectives or deep dives into rosters and ratings and play styles, like Jason said, that can really make this game fun or make you a better player even. You know, again, it's not all about winning. It's not all about being the best player at this game. But, you know, it's the chess match. It's the strategy, I think, that makes it a lot of fun for us and that keeps us coming back year by year.
And to that point, you know, I talked to Rain earlier in the season because, again, I've harped on it so many times. And you warned me before I started just how bad my defense was. And I was like, oh, I'll be fine with the game and watch everybody run by me. One of the things I had to do was try to disrupt with that defensive end. And I was talking to Rain one game. I'm like, I can do really well with him the first drive. But then after that, if you've ever done the manual pass rush moves, if you try a pass rush move and it doesn't work, you get dinged. And it makes it harder for you to make plays. And one of the things he told me was, use the formation subs and switch your defensive ends. And get, because it completely resets everything and you go up against different offensive linemen now on the other side that you haven't used those pass rush moves again. And once I did that, it changed everything for me. And that's just from talking to a guy who knows way more about the game than I do. He didn't have any reason to give me a tip. I mean, granted, we're not going to play each other this year, but, you know, we have so many guys in this league that are good at this game and will be glad to give you tips and give you pointers and point out things that you're doing wrong, things that you can do better, that'll make you a better player. So utilize that. Don't be afraid to ask guys. I'm sure there are some guys in here who want to guard their secrets, but a lot of the older players, a lot of the guys that have been here for a while, they understand this is about being part of a community. And as you've said a million times, you know, it's the NDL difference.
Yeah. Where did we shake out on
just to give
on
you
on merch and t-shirts? And I think there was a chat somewhere going on about merch and t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, someone's we got someone working on the logo right now. And then after we get the logo done, then we'll be putting out some things, I'm assuming. But there is an update on the West Virginia SMU game. Shell just took one to the house on a pick six, so it's 14-7 West Virginia.
Oh, there we go. I didn't even know the game started, so good catch. We'll put a bow on it. We'll wrap it up. You guys can sit in here and chat. I won't keep recording the podcast.
RB.
Yep.
Hey, while you are recording, I have one thing that I want to mention to the league.
Yes.
And since we have 6 feet in here, we're not going to give a lot of details yet because we're still finalizing everything. But next year, there will be a college football playoff committee. 6 feet is going to be the, I guess, commissioner of that, whatever you want to call it. He's going to manage it. He will not have a vote in anything, but he is the only member of the commish or admin team that will be on that committee. He's there to just kind of manage it, steer their conversations as far as, you know, keeping them on track, making sure they're doing what they need to do. The only details we really know right now is to be on the committee, you have to be active. You have to have basically perfect coach reports. And then around week 8, I believe, he will work with conference commissioners to choose their committee members. He's got a great plan. I don't want to go through it right now because it's not finalized, but he's got a great plan on how those members are going to be selected. And we think that some of them will be appointed from the conference commish, and then some of them he's going to select as well to have a committee. And the nice thing about this is every season is going to be potentially new members on that committee that will be helping to determine the teams that qualify for the playoffs. We're still going to follow the college football playoff rules as far as, you know, the the teams that automatically get a bye, the teams that automatically qualify for winning their championships. But these teams are going to, or I mean, this committee is going to take into account the Massey ratings that we have. They're going to take into account the coaches' polls that we do. And then they then have the, I guess, freedom, if you will, to take into account kind of the strength of schedule. They can look at matchups. They can look at things that the other ones don't do. So, you know, I wanted to let the new guys in the league know that, you know, this is a great chance for you guys to be able to be a part of the committee and be able to voice your opinion and have a say and get involved and then, you know, go from there. So I just wanted to mention that before we got done.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I kind of plugged that we were looking into new ideas for next season in terms of CFP, but yeah, appreciate you bringing that to the table and the breaking news on the NDL podcast. You heard it here first. We will have a human committee next season taking all things into consideration, which I think is awesome. But like I said, well, go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, and real quick to that point, and I'm kicking myself for not mentioning this earlier. I want to give a big shout out to you, Nidler, and because it could have been very easy for Homie to say, yep, everything's fine. It could have been really easy for you to say, yep, everything's fine. Not only did Homie put in a ton of work to go to Massey to find out what's wrong with this, why, you know, was everything calculated right? If not, what went wrong? And then you, above board, there was no hesitation. There was no delay. It was, okay, let's put this information out. Let's reach out to the two people affected by it. Let them know what's going on. And full kudos to Northwestern's coach for taking everything in stride. But there was full transparency, and I think that is extremely important, and I think it should be applauded. I think it is a testament to your integrity. I think everybody should be thankful to see, because it means everything's above board. Everything is being put out there. We're not hiding anything. We're not running from mistakes. To have that kind of leadership, I applaud you, and I thank you for being completely transparent. I thank Homie for putting in the work to make sure that we had the right info out there.
And while Homie was on vacation, by the way,
yeah,
doing it on his phone, reaching out to Ken Massey, just, yeah, I mean, yes. Don't have to be.
Yeah, as I
100%.
First off, Jason, thank you. And second, I just want to say, you know, as we said before, this league absolutely is not possible without Homie. The guy is absolutely amazing. He does a ton of work for us. And you know, Jason, to just answer that real quick or reply to that is, you know, I'm that way in my life. I'm never going to sweep something under the rug. If there's a mistake, own up to it, get through it, fix it, and move on. And, you know, to what happened, it wasn't anybody's mistake. It was a configuration issue from Massey. So, as you said, it was Homie reaching out to him and then working with Rain on the data he got back from Ken Massey to look into it and figure out what caused it. And, you know, they fixed that. So going forward, it's not an issue. And, you know, RB, to your point of Northwestern, thank God Matt is just a cool guy, laid back, you know, didn't raise an issue about it. And, you know, we're giving him some bonus points for it towards his draft position, just like as if he played the bowl game. Those are the points he's getting. So, you know, going from there forward, you know, everything is transparent. There's nothing I do that I wouldn't show anybody that asked. How's this figured? How's it, you know, set up? How's it determined? I mean, listen, we're all in this league together. It's not a, you know, it's not a dictatorship. It's not an admin making the decision. You know, we run everything, as you guys know, through the conference commissioners. I mean, everybody discusses things and helps decide. So, you know, again, thank all you guys for doing what you do, because we couldn't do this alone.
The NDL difference started in like our first or second podcast. It's still living through it. No, I mean, I think we're all on the same page. We all, you know, have a deep appreciation for each other and how things are run around here. And, you know, just appreciate you guys all listening, supporting, being active, playing the game. I'll leave it on this one last announcement, one last thing. Get your voting in for player awards to end the season. A lot of guys spent some hard work and time on that. So please take those seriously and get those in. And stay tuned. You know, we're going to have a lot more content here, hopefully bi-weekly moving forward. You know, maybe not through this playoff, but as we get into next season, would love to have some more bi-weekly podcast content, things for you guys to consume as NDLers and stay engaged and, you know, enjoy the end of the season, enjoy NDL Blitz. And thanks for joining us on this episode of the NDL Podcast.